Good morning.
Good morning.
So as many of you know that for this month and for the next month, we are doing a sermon series under the title, Characters Around Crucifixion. Character Around Crucifixion. And today we are going to talk about Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. He is very well known among some of the worst people in the world. Every time when we talk about some of the worst individual in the world, often people mention his name with Hitler, because his accent was so drastic and so inhuman in so many ways that people consider him as the worst person. Now, as we know through the scripture that he was one of the disciples of Christ, and Jesus invited him to follow him. Jesus invited that Judas can make a difference. But something happened in his life, and there are three things we want to talk about: his attitude, his action, and his end. What kind of attitude he had, even though as he was following Jesus. And I want to read some scripture from John chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. And after some time, Barbara will come and read scripture for us. But let me read something from book of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served with Lazarus among those who reclined at the table with him. When Mary took about a pin, a pure nard, an expensive perfume, she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a 1 year wage." He did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself of what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." His attitude. The first thing we know from this particular scripture that Judas Iscariot, even though he was the follower of Christ, he became the hindrance to the people's faith journey. He became hindrance to the people's faith journey. What does it mean that God has invited all of us to follow God? Amen? And we come from different backgrounds. We come from different experiences. And how we relate to God might be significantly different than other person is relating to God. And Judas is basically saying that one way I know to relate with God is to save money and give that money to poor. And that is the best way to connect with God. That is the most human way, that is the most logical way, that is the most profitable way to connect with Jesus. But here, instead of that, Mary, who has experienced tremendous forgiveness of her sin, as Brother Mark was sharing, and she wants to do extravagant acts toward Jesus, and she pours out that perfume on Jesus' feet, very, very expensive perfume. And that was her worship to Jesus. That was her connection to Jesus. No, it did not match with Judas Iscariot definition of connection with Jesus. But it was her way to connect with Jesus. Judas Iscariot was forcing other people to act and think just like him. Dear people of God, that how often we as Christian, as disciples of Christ, force our worldview on other people. How often we judge people because they are not acting the way we want them to act. How often we say that your lifestyle, your style of worship doesn't match with my understanding and therefore it is not valid. One way we can become hindrance to God's work, dear people of God, is that when we become forceful on other people's faith journey. And I pray this morning that we might not become like Judas, but we let people grow in their own faith journey. Amen?
Amen.
It might not be like us. We might not even approve it in so many ways. But guess what? It's not your faith journey. It is that other person's faith journey. It is that other person is connecting with his or her God. And as a disciples of Christ, we have to come together to support that person's journey. Judas Iscariot, his attitude was, since you're not acting like the way I want you to act, you should change your behavior. You should change your action. The second one, his action and his word did not match. Here he's saying that he's concerned for poor, but of course, and we're also given some more information that actually he was not really concerned for poor, but he was stealing money. God's money for himself. So he was saying something and he was acting something else. He was saying something at one place that I really have a great concern for poor people and I want to do everything for poor people. I'm going to collect money for poor people. And when it comes to action, instead of giving it to poor people, he would keep that for himself. And of course, in a simple language, it's called hypocrisy, right? You say something different and you act something else. You know, one of the ways why the church has a negative impact in the world, why people think negatively about the church, and one of the first words often they use, like, often Christians are hypocrite. Have you heard that before? What basically they are saying, that you are saying that you need to be kind to one another, but when I look at your life, you're not kind to one another. You're saying that you have been forgiven by God and then you should forgive other people, but again, when I look at your life, you're not forgiving other people. You're saying that you're supposed to be compassionate to one another, but when I look at you, you're not compassionate to one another. You're saying that all children of God are equal in the sight of God, but then when I look at your churches, when I look at your life, I don't see that happening. Judas, you're saying that you have concern for poor people, but then when I look at your life, when I look at your wallet, when I look at your bank account, I don't see that happening. It is easy to call somebody hypocrite because, again, if it doesn't fall into our definition, we can easily call that person hypocrite. But instead of talking about somebody else, dear people of God, I want us to check our own heart and our own attitude this morning. Have we been hypocrite in our word and in our action? Have we been saying one thing through our words, and have we been acting totally different in the way we live our life? Because when we say that, and when we act differently, guess what? People don't trust us anymore. How many of you know that? If you're saying, I'm going to be kind to you, and when I'm not kind to that person, next time when I tell somebody else something, they say, like, yeah, don't believe that guy. He's a liar. He's a hypocrite. And I pray, dear people of God, as children of God, as disciples of Christ, that we might not be like Judas Iscariot, that we might not be hypocrite, that we might not be one of those individuals, as Scripture reminds us, like Jesus was telling to the, you know, Pharisees, religious leaders during Jesus' time, that you are like these individuals that from outside your grave looks so beautiful. It is so whitewashed. It is so, there are a lot of flowers around it, but like when we dig that grave, it is all smelly and dirty because you are sowing something else, and what is deep down within you is something else. And dear people of God, I need to repent of that sin for my life. There are times that I have been hypocrite, that I might have said something and I have acted differently. And we look into our own life, you would see that. His action, and Barbara is going to come and read scripture for us.
I'm reading this morning from Luke 22. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12, and Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?"
His action. When Judas realized that Jesus did not act as Judas wanted him to act, Judas went and joined to Jesus' enemies. See, the scholar says the word Iscariot in Judas' last name is more an expression of the fact that Judas come from a group of people during Jesus' time, those who were violently rebelling against Roman authority. And Iscariot means with somebody who has a dagger, somebody who has a knife, and that person is ready to hurt other person in order to achieve their goal. And so Judas Iscariot, they're thinking that he comes from the political stream where he was thinking that Jesus, being such a great prophet, such a influential person, such a charismatic person, will actually have a great many people around him, and one day he will rebel against Roman authority. And that was his plan, that was his desire. But when he realized that Jesus is not acting the way he actually wants him to act, here Jesus is saying that love your enemies. Here Jesus is saying that forgive one another. This doesn't go along with his ideology. This did not go along with his ideology at that time. He was thinking that Jesus is supposed to go and fight against Romans at that time. And when that did not happen according to Judas' philosophy, according to his plan, the scripture says he went and he joined himself with Jesus' enemies. He continually acting like Jesus' disciples, as we just read in the scripture, that he is eating with Jesus. In fact, when they were having their last supper, Jesus gave him the place of letting him sit on his left, which is one of the most prominent places as they were having the feast at that time. In other words, even at that time, Jesus is ready to expand his forgiveness, his grace to Judas, and extending his hand of friendship to Judas. But even while they were eating, Judas' mind was something else. Something else was happening in his mind. And dear people of God, how often we struggle that when we are even at the church, when we are at supposed to be a very spiritual, religious place, our mind wanders around some of the worst tragic moment of our thinking. What we're contemplating within us is so different than the place we are at. The second thing we notice about Judas' action, that his greed was so blinding to himself that he forgot that he is in the presence of God. He forgot the place that I am in the presence of great prophet. I am in the presence of prophet who has done tremendous miracles. I am in the presence of prophet that just few days ago he raised somebody from his death. But his greed was so strong, his greed was so blinding, that even though he was in the presence of God, he forgot about it. And again, dear people of God, how often that happens to us. That our unforgiveness, our greed, our jealousy is blinding to us. That we could be in the presence of great, many wonderful people, and our thoughts are so far from the reality. Our thoughts are so from what's supposed to happen. His end. We know the story that eventually he got the money he wanted when he betrayed Jesus. And as soon as he got money, he realized that, you know, I thought money will bring me joy. I thought money will bring me happiness. I thought money will bring me peace. But I'm not experiencing any of that. And eventually, as we know, that he killed himself. His end was tragic. His end was tragic. They say one of the worst and one of the most loneliest time for all of us is to realize that something will give me the utmost joy and peace in my life. And as soon as I get that thing, as soon as I get that place, as soon as I get that promotion, as soon as I get that car, whatever it might be, and then we realize next day that, look, no, it didn't bring anything I hoped for. Oh, if I would go to America, that's going to bring me joy and peace in my life. I thought once upon a time. And I'm here, and I have to tell you that, well, it brought some peace and joy, but not altogether. Some of us, we were looking for a job and we thought, like, if I get that job, then my life is going to be perfect. I'm going to be the most happy person in the world. And then, of course, we got that job. And then, like, within a week, we realized, like, well, no, I was wrong. We thought, like, if I would marry that person, my life is going to be perfect. I'll have the most joyful life ever. And then, of course, as you and I know, some of you have experienced that it really didn't turn out the way we thought it would. Judas Iscariot, he thought, like, I need money. As soon as I get that money, I'll do for that money anything. Even if I have to betray my God, I'm going to do that because I know that as soon as I get that money, I'll be the most happy person in the world. And within a few hours, he realized that I'm wrong. I was wrong. Dear people of God, this morning, what is that thing you're hoping for in your life which you think will bring ultimate joy and peace and satisfaction in your life? I want to remind us that when we are in God, when we are in deeper connection with God, dear people of God, that's where we have the ultimate joy and peace and satisfaction in life. Amen? Yet, money is good, houses are good, nice car is good, having a great promotion is great, having a good job is great, having a wonderful marriage, those are great, wonderful blessings of God. But let us not place them before God and hoping that those will bring ultimate joy and peace in my life. Because ultimate joy, peace, satisfaction, forgiveness come from God. The next thing we know about his action. See, throughout Jesus' ministry, Judas Iscariot was hanging out with Jesus. He had witnessed so many tremendous miracles. He had heard Jesus speaking about forgiveness. He has seen how Jesus forgave other people. He has seen how Jesus forgave a woman who was caught in adultery in front of whole crowd. Jesus forgave her. He knew that Jesus is a forgiving God. But he was so much deep down within his own greed and within his own self that instead of even thinking about going back to Jesus, he killed himself. He was so close to Jesus, and yet so far away from Jesus. That woman who was caught in adultery was so far, but then she became one of the closest disciples. Samaritan woman, so far from Jesus, but then she experienced Jesus' forgiveness, and she became the first evangelist in the gospel. So many people out there experienced Jesus' miraculous power in their life, and Judas hanging out with Jesus for 3 years, day and night, and still so far. Dear people of God, that could be our story this morning. We could be a little bit like Judas, that we hang out with Jesus so much. We're at the church for so many years. We heard so many sermons. We know so much of Bible. We've seen people change. But still, when it comes to us, we could be so far well off, so far away from Jesus. And I pray that we might not be that Judas who is close to God, very close, but still so far off. Because when we don't respond to God's grace, when we harden our hearts, there comes a time in our life when it becomes so difficult to say yes. I remember a story of D.L. Moody, one of the evangelists. And he used to go to different places and preach gospel. And he used to go to one particular city. And whenever he would be in the city, there was a rich man in that city, a business person. And he would always invite D.L. Moody. And he says, D.L. Moody, I like to hear your stories. I like to hear what you have to say about God. And so every time when D.L. Moody is in that city, he would invite for dinner. And then D.L. Moody would eventually talk about Jesus, like, thank you for inviting, but have you found Christ in your life? Have you committed your life to Christ? And that person would say, like, well, you know, D.L. Moody, I'm a business person. And next week I'm going for a business trip. And I know that as I go for a business trip, there are things I will have to do which might be contradicting to the commitment I have for Christ. And so maybe I'll do it next week. And then, of course, D.L. Moody goes back to the city, and then after 1 year, he would go back to that city. And then again, this business person will invite him, like, hey, D.L. Moody, we're so glad you're here. Can you come for dinner? Sure, I'll go for dinner. And then they would have the same question. Have you committed your life to Christ? And that person will say, no, you know, now actually I have some other business plan going on, and I know that if I commit my life to Jesus, then it's going to conflict with my business plan. And therefore, I cannot do that commitment. This went on for so many years. And now this businessman is an old person now. And he realized that he's going to die pretty soon. And then D.L. Moody goes again to that town. And then he's inviting D.L. Moody for a visit. And now D.L. Moody is really like thinking, are you ready to accept Christ now? Are you ready to become disciple of Christ? And that old man said, you know what, D.L. Moody, it's too late now. It's too late. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I cannot do it any longer. The reason I invited you this morning at my place is talk to my children, that you could save them. Maybe my time has gone. I'm too gone. So close, dear people of God, and still so far. We have seen those individuals in our life, right? So close to God. They have to just walk in, just one step further, just saying yes to God's grace. Judas, you're so close. You heard the fact that there is nothing in the world you can do which Jesus cannot forgive. You know that, Judas. You just have to say, forgive me. You just have to go back to Jesus. And of course, Next Sunday, we'll talk about Peter. He wasn't different than Judas in almost in any ways, but he took a different stand. He took a different path for his life. You know, SPRC has asked me, SPRC has told me that every time Rajiv preaches the sermon, there has to be something that we have to take home, right? And so what do we take home this morning, dear people of God? Let us not be hypocrite. And when I say that to you, I'm telling it to myself. Because there are challenges in my life. As a pastor, people assume things about me. And they think, like, since you're a pastor, you might hardly committing any sin. Well, that's not true. Since you're a pastor, your thoughts are always pure. Well, I have to tell you, that's not true. Since you're a pastor, you don't lose your temper. Well, that is absolutely not true. Since you're a pastor, you don't have any greed. Well, I like some nice cars. People assume things about me. And I have to confess to you, dear people of God, that I don't want to be that hypocrite. I want to confess to you this morning that I might be one of the most difficult person to deal with. I might have some challenges you might not have imagined. But like Judas Iscariot, I don't want to run away from God. But I want to draw myself to God. I want to go close to Jesus and experience His grace every day in my life. What can you take home? Take home Jesus' grace with you. Amen? Take home the fact that there is nothing in the world you can do which Jesus cannot forget. Take home the fact that the longer you wait for God, the longer you wait for God's grace, the further away you go from God. And that's not the place you want to be at. What you take home? You're so close to God. Just walk in God. Just walk in deeper relationship with God this morning. Amen? Let us close our eyes and pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much. We give you glory and we give you thanks for who you are. Lord, I pray for myself this morning that help me draw closer to you. I ask forgiveness of my sin. Please forgive my sin and help me to experience grace once again in my life. Help me to put myself in your gracious presence and to put myself in a way that I would constantly remain in your grace, experience your forgiveness, experience your compassion and your generosity and your kindness in my life. And I also pray for my dear people here that, Lord, they would experience your grace in their life. It is possible that there might be somebody within us like that rich person D.L. Moody was hanging out with. So close and yet so far away. Judas Iscariot, so close to God and yet so far away. God, give us desire and grace to walk into your life and experience your goodness. Please forgive us. I want to give you a minute to spend time with your God this morning. If you're like Judas, so close and still having a hard time to walk in Jesus' life, may you find God's grace. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.